Life Audio.
The Mama Take Heart podcast with Rabrina Rettle is brought to you by Life Audio and is a part of our Faith Toolkit series. For more inspirational, faith-affirming podcasts, visit lifeaudio.com.
You're listening to Mama Take Heart, Understand Your Gen Z Girl, a show designed to help you be the compassionate, gospel-centered, and influential voice in your girl's life. I'm your host, Rabrina Rettle. February is Teen Dating Violence Awareness Month. So today, we're going to continue to have a frank and necessary discussion about teens and emotionally abusive relationships. This episode contains references to domestic or partner violence. Please listen with care. This is part two of the discussion. Moms, I encourage you to have your daughter listen to this one because we have a guest who is a survivor. Elizabeth Sabiong is a founder of Savvy Marketing and host of Beauty Marks Podcast. Beauty Marks is a space where she embraces marks acquired through her and other people's journey. Elizabeth is an avid fashionista, but behind the social media platform, she has real conversations about her personal journey of faith, mental health, and how she's overcome marks of life. You will also hear stories of how people have used their personal marks of pain and obstacles and trauma in life to turn them into beauty marks. So much for joining us today, Elizabeth. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited for today's conversation.
I am so glad you're here, but I want to get started first by you kind of telling us about yourself. What's your story?
Yeah, so my name is Elizabeth Savion. I have a podcast as well called Beauty Marks Podcast, where we talk about just people's story, women's stories about embracing their marks throughout their journey. We all have a story, either good or bad, and there are sometimes ways that we feel like we maybe have mess ups or some hardships in life that we feel alone in. But when you look around, there's a lot of other women that have experienced the same thing, and you're not alone. Mm-hmm. And so I feel like that is really what my podcast is all about: mental health, my journey of faith, relationships, and all of that. So we talk about all things, same as you. I know you're very real in your conversations, and I love doing that. I love encouraging women and helping others to see that, you know, that they're not alone.
That's awesome. I love that. And I have to say that Elizabeth is younger than me. I had another conversation with another younger friend. I am all about intergenerational relationships.
Yes.
So Elizabeth is younger than me. She is 26. Yes. And she has helped me with my social media because I'm not 26. But anyway, so I wanted to talk to her today, though, because I listened to an episode of one of her podcasts, and she is a survivor of emotional abuse. Mm-hmm. And so I kind of wanted to get into the conversation because I think that it's more prevalent than people think it is. And I know it happens in teen relationships. Mm-hmm. And so I want to talk to you because I know you told me that you were young when you started dating. So how old were you when you started dating?
I was around 12 to 13, probably middle school age. Mm-hmm. I think like 7th to 8th grade was like my first boyfriend.
Mm-hmm. What did you think you were looking for when you started dating at a young age? With peer pressure, or you just wanted?
Yeah. I definitely feel like, I mean, if I think back to my 12, 13 year old self, I definitely wanted to fit in. And I definitely feel like my pressure to want to, you know, you see these girls have boyfriends since they were like in 3rd, 4th, 5th grade, 6th grade, you know, and so you kind of feel like you're left out. I actually went through a stage that I would say a little bit like obese as a child. And so I also felt very insecure about myself growing, like all between that stage. Mm-hmm. And then I lost a lot of weight. Mm-hmm. And that was around when I first got my first boyfriend. And so my starting it off first, I was very insecure, but I feel like the pressure of having friends that had boyfriends, talking about, you know, their first kiss, all of that, you know, it's around you. I mean, I can't even imagine in today's schools, like they're even starting, I feel, earlier, and they're so aware of other people's lives at this point that you kind of feel like you're missing out. Yeah. So that was my first experience.
That is interesting that you said that after you lost weight and that's when you had your first boyfriend. And I know that is a topic that you also talk about on your podcast. You talk about body image and feeling proud about your body. And do you talk about body dysmorphia at all?
I have talked about it. I wouldn't say a eating disorder, but I did have a disordered eating, which is pretty much really bad habits in the way that you see yourself, but also very like you are on strict diets, you don't eat, you eat too much, you binge eat, like you have different, you have a very, I would say a very hard time when it comes to weight and like fluctuating weights in the ways that you see yourself. It got to the point that I was lost like 50, 60 pounds. And I still saw myself as the person of myself, which is body dysmorphia. Mm-hmm. And so I went through all of that in middle school. So it was around the time that everyone's kind of, all your hormones are changing, but also your body's changing. And that was the prevalent time that I experienced that. But even as an adult, I've had my issues with my body as well. So I talk about that.
Yeah, that's what I thought. You are much more comfortable with yourself now. I noticed that because you really do talk more about body positivity and accepting yourself as you are. I appreciate that. But how did you know that your relationships were not healthy?
So I feel like it first started out that I got cheated on in my first relationship. I was in eighth grade and I remember I was with this guy that, first of all, it was a secret relationship. My parents did not know. Nobody knew. Mm. And so that first is red flag. Second of all, it was something that I knew, like the way that he treated me was not nice. It was nice in the beginning, you know, in the beginning stages, but then I saw how he would be like distant. It would always be like, I felt like I was in a competition with other girls, like, oh, I can get this girl, I can get that girl, kind of like downgrading me. And to the point where literally he went, and I'm silly now thinking about it, but he went to like this Christmas, it was around Christmas time. He went to a Christmas show, a light show, and didn't invite me. And then all my friends, like, I don't even know if, did they text me? No, I think it was like through MySpace that someone messaged me and told me that they saw him with someone else. So that was like the craziest thing, that he kissed this other girl there. And so my heart was crushed. But the thing is though, that since he did that though, he was so sorry. And then I gave him another chance. Mm-hmm. And so I feel like I started realizing that at the moment I didn't realize it, but I think that how I knew that they were unhealthy was that it always kind of like was a jealousy, controlling, very like up and down relationships, like not consistent. Their words would say be one thing, but their actions were something else. So it's like, I love you, but actually, you know, I'm going to go cheat on you, you know, which is not love. Mm-hmm. I felt sad most of the time. And I know that that's not normal in a healthy relationship. So those are just like a few things that were signs, you know, that it was, but there's so many things that we can go into, you know, of what should someone look for, you know, because that's when you're young, you don't really ever think that way. You know, you see it as like movies that you see, you're like, oh my God, like a guy, like, you know, he takes me out, he does all these things, he tells me these nice things. But once you get older, you start realizing that there are a lot of unhealthy ways, even in young relationships, that you have to watch out for.
Hi, everyone. If you've been injured in an accident that was not your fault, listen up. We have legal professionals standing by to answer your questions for free. Call now and find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth. Call 800-497-4410. I'm here with spokesman John Wolf. So, John, tell everyone listening who should call right now.
Well, Maria, first off, thank you for having me here. It's always nice to answer the listeners' questions. Now, as far as who should call in, anyone who's been injured in an accident and think you deserve compensation, give us a call right now. 800-497-4410. You'll find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth.
Thanks, John. You heard it, folks. Take advantage of this opportunity and call now, 800-497-4410.
Advertisement sponsored by Legal Help Center may not be available in all states.
I want to get into the signs, but I wanted to find out, how did you know that there was a pattern of emotional abuse? Because when I listened to your podcast, when you were a little older and you started to see, wait a minute, this is just not healthy. As you said, when you were younger, you knew you were sad when, although you had a boyfriend and you should have been happy, you know, according to what everyone else says.
Yeah.
Just so you know, though, boyfriend does not have to make you happy. Does it take a boyfriend?
No.
Okay.
Not at all.
Okay. But even though you felt like you should have been happy, you were sad. So how did you, let's talk about the signs first, and then how you knew as you got older, you're like, okay, this is a pattern. So let's talk about the signs.
Yeah. So I would say the signs of a toxic relationship or an emotional abusive relationship, which first of all, I love how you said emotional abuse. We talked about this before, but emotional abuse is abuse. Just because someone is not hitting you does not mean that it is not wrong and it's not abuse. So some people think that, you know, oh, but they're just calling you these names, or they're just lying to you, cheating on you, all those things, manipulating you, but they're not hurting you, like physically, and it's still abuse. So I just want to like affirm that for someone that is listening, that it doesn't mean that just because they don't do those things that it's not abuse, and maybe they don't see it like that, but it is.
Yes, pal. If there's something wrong with your heart, you can't see, another person can't look at you and see, oh, there's something wrong with her heart. But if you still need surgery, it's still something of a wound, or it's something wrong with your heart. So it's the same thing. Just because you can't see it does not mean that it is not an abusive situation. It's almost, it's more insidious and it's damaging, but it's very damaging.
It is.
A situation like that, because you question yourself and everything. So, and it just takes a toll on your psyche. Okay. But anyway, let's talk about the signs.
Yeah. So the signs that I felt like, if I'm looking back, definitely it's when it's too good to be true. So they move really, really fast. They're like the perfect boyfriend in the beginning. Like they're just amazing. Like they do all these like extreme things that are not like, especially when you're young, like, you know, they're like trying to take you out to these nice adventures and the parks and like buying you flowers, like all these things that at the point, you know, you can only afford so much when you're young, but they're trying to do the most. They're very much about texting, calling all the time, like very obsessive. Like they're very intense, that it kind of feels like you're like, wow, like they love me so much. Like, wow, I feel so much. But that's actually a red flag. That's not a healthy relationship when it starts off at such a high intensity, because that usually doesn't last that long. The second thing I would say is when words and actions are inconsistent. So they're telling you that they care about you, but they're making you cry all the time because they're lying to you, or they like don't talk to you for days, that hot and cold, you know, like you feel like you're walking on eggshells because you don't know what their mood is going to be. You don't know if they're going to talk to you today, and then tomorrow they're going to love you and they're going to do these nice things. You know, they hurt you, but then they buy flowers. Those kind of relationship, that's another toxic sign. Another one is very angry or jealous. So like someone that's very, very explosive when they get in an argument, or when something doesn't go their way, they get very, very angry. Maybe they hit a wall, they yell, they curse all the time when they're angry. Like they're very rude. And it's not always sometimes towards you. Sometimes it's towards other people. So it can be other people around you, their family, their friends, that you're like, wow, I have not seen the side of them.
Yes, that is a really good point. Watching how they treat other people. That is a very good point.
Definitely. And you usually don't see it that way. You think, oh, well, they treat me so nice. And you're like, yeah, but did you just see how they exploded on that person? Like that's some other level of, like, there's something there. Like, it's not, you know, because we all get angry and we all, you know, are imperfect. Sometimes we all have our issues. But when it's an escalated level, that's a red flag.
Yeah, I always say they just haven't gotten around to you yet.
Yeah, pretty much. It's going to happen. And it usually always does. Yes. Full circle. Another thing I would say is that especially they isolate you from your family and friends. And this starts off with saying, You know what? You know that girl, Ashley, I just really don't like her. I think she's just jealous of you. Or like, you know, like, I feel like your family just like doesn't like me. And I feel like I don't want to be put in that position, like to be around them. So I don't feel comfortable hanging out with your family. Mm. Or, you know, I don't feel like any of your friends want the best for you. Like, I think that I like know you and I see you, like, you know, nobody else. Like, it's a very like, I'm the one versus. So then what you start doing is that you start cutting off your friends and your family, even though they're not telling you. And that's what's crazy about it. It's like, they're not telling you, don't hang out with them. They're telling you, I just really feel like they're just like jealous of you, or they just don't understand, or they're not a good friend. So then it starts getting in your mind. Mm-hmm. So it's like a little by little, you start cutting off your friends. And then when you realize, you look around, and you're alone and you have no friends. Mm-hmm. And you're like, what happened? Mm-hmm. Like, how did this happen? So I would say that that's a really big sign. Another thing is feeling sad most of the time. You would think that when you're in a relationship that you want the happy emotion, you know, like you want to be happy, but you also understand, even when I was in high school, I would be like, well, you know, all relationships go through something, but when you're mostly sad or crying for your relationship, it is not healthy. When you're mostly feeling like you're always in an argument with your boyfriend or your girlfriend, whatever the case may be, you always feel this anxiety. You know, like you always feel these like nerves, your heart's beating, you're like always feel on edge. That's not a normal, healthy relationship. That's a toxic relationship that you just don't maybe know at the point when you're in it that you're in it.
Let's talk to the moms, which I would encourage mom to have her girl listen to this episode, because I think that it's important for our girls to know what signs to look for. And one thing you mentioned is how he basically isolates, or the relationship is isolating. And mm-hmm. what happens is they create a me and you against the world type of atmosphere. And mm-hmm. so you're thinking that, oh, well, it's just us and we have to stick together. However, so moms in a situation like that, they have to be very cautious and very careful with how you handle that, because mm-hmm. Their mind is being changed about, which already the prefrontal cortex is not fully developed. So it's easily moldable. And so moms have to be very careful with how they handle this type of situation. And so one thing I would say for me being a mom is mm-hmm. just make sure that your girl knows I love you always. Mm-hmm. And I'm here for you always. I mm-hmm. want the best for you always. And even when she wants to slam the door, whether it's metaphorically or physically in your yes. face, you let her know I am here for you, because she is going to need mm-hmm. you, whether she thinks she does or not. Yeah. But so how can moms support their girls in this situation? What did you have, or what did you wish that you had?
That's good. I mean, it's hard because I also don't have children yet, but I can only imagine how painful it is to watch your daughter go through this. Like, now I'm thinking back to that and I can't even imagine what my mom like really felt, or my sister, when they saw me in unhealthy relationships and they saw me crying and they saw what I was going through. So I would say first is, you know, like, I love what you said about really loving and affirming that in them. Also, I feel like the reality is that we sometimes have to go through our own pain. However, I think that if you're transparent about your pain, so if you as a mom have been through a hard, toxic relationship, you being open to your daughter and open to her about what you felt just helps them see you in a different light and helps you bridge that gap. Mm-hmm. A few years after, like, my mom never told me about the intensity of her abusive relationship that she went through around my same age. And she never told me. And I'm not saying that I wish she would have told me, but hearing the similarities of what we experienced, I'm like, wow. Like, I'm not saying that she could have completely stopped it from happening, but I wish that I would have heard her tell me, hey, Like, you know, if you're feeling like this, if he's making you cry this much, like, I remember when I was your age, I went through this experience, like kind of opening that door. I feel like that would have been so helpful. And so if you have been through a hard relationship, that a toxic, unhealthy relationship, telling your kids about it doesn't mean that they're going to do the same thing. If anything, it can help them to see the signs and have the tools to deal with those situations. Because the reality is that our kids, you know, speaking for my future kids as well, they're going to be exposed to things regardless. Like, we can only do so much, but we can provide and equip them with tools on what to do when they are faced with something.
Yes.
So
that is basically what this podcast is. Yes. Equipping mamas. Yeah, that was very well put. Yes. I would say also just to make sure you keep an eye on everything and making sure it doesn't escalate physical.
Yeah, I did want to add to that. I would say also being friends with the parents of the friends and their friends, like being in the circle, like kind of, even though you're like, of course, giving them their space to some extent, because you know, as they get older, they want that space, but also being aware, like being involved, like part into it. And if you do have to get involved at this capacity, if they're a minor, that's even to the next level. My parents ended up getting in one of the, my last relationship in high school, my parents actually had to get involved for that relationship because that other person was saying false things about me. And so they had to speak to their parents because they're like, no, that is not the truth. And so my parents did end up stepping in for that. And I mean, I was what, 16, 17, like at a certain point, you know, your parents are there. And I'm so glad that they were there to help me in that. So I would say definitely do that for your kids, like step in, be involved, vigilant, social media, definitely yes. Be like, on top of that, because now it's even, you know, like you don't know who they might be talking to, like, you know, and so having that space, I feel like is important.
Mm-hmm. I'd agree, especially on the digital end, and whether it's the text messages or DMs, just making sure that she's not being cyber bullied and that sort of thing either in her relationship. Well, I just want to thank you so much. You were very vulnerable and I appreciate it. I am really grateful that the Lord redeemed your story and you are using your experiences to help others. And it was part of your faith journey, which that's incredible too. But I wanted to ask you, how can our listeners connect with you?
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for having me. It's amazing to think back and see where I'm at right now. You know, I had to go through some hills and valleys, you know, but I'm so thankful for where God has me right now. If you want to connect with me, go on Instagram, Facebook at Elizabeth Sabby. That's Elizabeth S-A-B-B-Y. Or you can also find my podcast at Beauty Marks Podcast. And, you know, we have a new episode every Monday and you can tune in audio as well as, you know, through Instagram, you can get the notifications. So we'd love to have you listen in.
All right. Well, thanks, Elizabeth. I really appreciate you. Remember, God is for you and you're not alone. With His Spirit, you are filled with courage and strength of purpose. So don't fret, Mama. Instead, take heart.
Mama Take Heart is a production of Life Audio and the Salem Web Network. If you liked what you just listened to, would you take a second and leave us a rating in your favorite podcast app? It really does help more people like you find our show. This podcast is produced by me, Kelly Givens, and Steven Sanders, with executive oversight by Stephen McGarvey. You can find more podcasts like this over at lifeaudio.com.
In a world where relationships are easily broken and often discarded, the Rebuilding Us Marriage Podcast is your lighthouse, guiding the way to hope, restoration, and transformation in Christ. I'm your host and marriage coach, Dana Shea. Join me as we discuss the necessary tools for rebuilding marriages from adversity, betrayal, and disconnection. It's time to reignite love as we rebuild marriages from the ground up. Listen to the Rebuilding Us Marriage podcast on lifeaudio.com or wherever you get your podcasts.